what the Lord had laid on my heart about being rooted and grounded in Christ from Ephesians chapter number 3 and then also Colossians chapter number 2, that we are rooted and established in Christ. Yesterday, you probably felt like I preached the whole chapter of Psalms 119. Amen. I didn't. Brother Sonny Griswold told me after service, he's actually in a series at his church, and he is in Psalms 119. So some of his church people were with him, and I preached from Psalms 119 yesterday. He said, y'all just can't get away from it. But he's doing a series. I kind of put it all in one sermon. But we talked about being rooted in the Word of the Lord. I do want to remain rooted in God's Word in this last hour of doctrinal error and falling away. Amen. I want to be tethered to the convictions of God's Word. But today I want to talk to you about being rooted in Pentecost. Rooted in Pentecost. In the book of Acts chapter number 2, verses 38 and 39, if you have it, say amen. Amen. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And notice what he says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He continues, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. The book of Ephesians this morning, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse number 19, verse number 18. Many of us could quote it, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. But here's the command from Paul to the church of Jesus Christ, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. How many would like to see the Lord fill somebody with His Spirit today? Amen. Lift your hands toward heaven. Let's ask God's blessings today upon the Word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace and your power. We just magnify you. We love you today, Lord. God, we just ask you for the Word of God to be accomplished here. Oh, Spirit of the living God, take the words that you burned in my heart, oh God. Help me preach the Word of God today. Lord, confirm this message, Lord, by giving us a demonstration of your power. God, give evidence once again that you're a God of the living. Hallelujah. We praise you for it. We'll thank you for it. Amen. On your way to your seats today, turn around, shake your neighbor's hand. Tell him it's good to see him in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Rooted in Pentecost, or rooted in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad to know that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes our sins away. Aren't you? Amen. Amen. To make us a candidate for heaven, it is the blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing. Thank God. Amen. It's not the blood plus water baptism. It's not the blood plus anything. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes our sins away. Amen. How many have been to that fountain filled with blood? Drawn from Emmanuel's vein. I was encouraged last night, wasn't you? Thank God it reminded me of when the sins were washed away and I got up born again as a child of God. Hallelujah. I remember being that little boy I told you the other day getting saved, and in my mind's eye going home that night. Even I remember in my mind it was like a big flashing billboard. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Amen. I still am glad to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. You meet some folks, they say they're glad to be saved, but they almost need to notify their face because they sure don't act glad to be saved. Amen. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. But how many know, as Pentecostal people, there's a subsequent experience that you and I have partaken of, the baptism, the sweet power of God, that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If the Lord will help me today, I want to talk to you about being rooted in Pentecost. I want to talk to you about being rooted in the purity of Pentecost, because I believe the Holy Ghost only comes upon a sanctified life. Amen. I want to talk to you about being rooted in the purity of Pentecost. Amen. There are those that are telling us the Holy Ghost is just for anybody and everything, and they can live any way they want to please. But if I understand the word of the Lord, amen, if you're going to be rooted in Pentecost, you got to be rooted in the purity of Pentecost. Amen. If you're a child of God, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, I believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a birthright for every child of God. I believe every believer ought to seek, expect, and experience this Pentecostal power. Hallelujah. Amen. There are those that believe that died with the first century church, but I just don't read it in the word of the Lord. I read where God gave the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the early church, but I don't read where he ever took away the baptism of the Holy Ghost from the early church. I believe you and I, brother and sister, ought to be born again, and we ought to be sanctified, but we ought to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost in the world in which we live. Hallelujah. I don't believe you got to be Holy Ghost filled to go to heaven. But if you're going to live in this world very long, you better have the Holy Ghost if you're going to the end of the street. You better have the Holy Ghost if you're going to Walmart. And if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I began to take a look around some of the places I've been, and I'm watching folks shout, and I'm watching them get blessed. And I'm watching them run and be emotionally stirred. But I think, friend, you and I would have to admit sometimes we are starting to lose this experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. That ought not to be a controversial statement. But it seems as if there are those that want to have the power of God, and they equate the Holy Ghost with, well, I felt God, or I shouted last night, or I felt the Spirit of God on my spine. Friend, all of those are the effects of the Spirit of God. But what I'm preaching about this morning is the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. And I believe it comes upon a sanctified life. I don't believe we can miss that step in the process. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Don Ridge said if his pastor summed up his theology pretty well. Said if you're saved, you ain't sinning. And if you're sinning, you ain't saved. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Friend, if you're still sinning, there is that fountain of blood Brother Teague preached about last night. That's what you need, is to get a born again experience in God. Hallelujah. But once the blood of Jesus Christ has washed our sins away, as Brother Sam said, the Lord sanctified him yesterday. I'm glad that our young folks are aware that there is a sanctifying experience in God. Come on, somebody. We cannot remove that from our doctrine. Hallelujah. But once we're sanctified, when I was coming along, once you got sanctified, they believed you ought to go through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That if you got sanctified and satisfied and you went over and sit down on the pew, they thought something was wrong with your experience. That if you'd been in the church very long and you said I was saved and sanctified and you wasn't seeking the Holy Ghost, they took you back to the beginning steps. They wanted you to get saved all over again, because they just assumed that once you got saved, you wanted to get sanctified. And once you got sanctified, you wanted to get baptized. I would to God we'd get back, amen, to that old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost in our churches. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching just to the young folks. I've pastored some folks. I know I don't look this old, but I'm in my 19th year of pastoring some of those people. And I know I don't look that old. I know it. I know it. It's a miracle of God in and of itself. Amen. Pastoring in the South is easy. I grew up in the North, and I got to the South as quick as I could. Somebody say amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. In almost 2 decades, I've never seen the Holy Ghost on some folks. I've never heard them speak. I'm not doubting their experience in God. I just didn't get it that way. I said, I just didn't get that. When the Holy Ghost came and the fire fell, amen, there was evidence. I said there was evidence that the Holy Ghost was moving in my heart and life. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. I love what Ecclesiastes said, that if our garments will be white, if thy garments are always white, thy head will lack no ointment. I said, thy head will lack no ointment. You want the anointing of God flowing in your life? I'll tell you how to do it. Keep white garments. Keep unspotted. Keep pure. If your garments will be white, get ready. The anointing is going to flow. I said the fire is going to fall. We need to be rooted in the purity of Pentecost. Yes, we do. But we also need to be rooted in the pattern of Pentecost. There is a Pentecostal pattern found in Scripture. I'm not saying that we're combating some of the things other Pentecostal denominations are combating. But friend, hear me now. Some of them are trying to redefine what it means to have the Holy Ghost. Their higher ups are now debating, do you actually have to speak in tongues to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking about some right-wing group. I'm talking about the largest Pentecostal organizations in our country. Matter of fact, where some of us come out of, our roots go back there. It was never up for debate. It was inarguable. Amen. When you got the Holy Ghost, it was the biblical pattern of speaking in other tongues. I'm not ashamed. Hear me now. I'm not ashamed to be a tongue talker. I'm not ashamed to be fire baptized. I'm not ashamed to be Pentecostal. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. God give us an eruption of Pentecostal power. You mark your Bibles, young folks, in Acts chapter number 2. When they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, your Bible said, and they all spake in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Acts chapter number 10. Not just the Jews, but now the Gentiles. At Cornelius' house. And while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Let me take a side trip right here. We might need to get rooted back in the informality of Pentecost. We've been so programmed and we've got so conditioned that we think we know when the Holy Ghost is going to move. That if he wanted to move right now, some of us would think it'd be out of order. But while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them that believed. Send it, Lord. My God, send it, Lord. My God, send the power of the Holy Ghost like a mighty rushing wind. And they spake in other tongues. Hallelujah. Acts chapter number 19. The Apostle Paul met the Ephesian believers. I'm starting to feel that traveling spirit coming on me. I don't know if this mic going to hold me up here or not. Hallelujah. Thank God. Maybe it's one of them hit and run messages. I'm going to hitch and I'm getting out of here in a few hours and head back south. Hallelujah. Glory. Well, head further south. This is already south. I didn't mean to insinuate you's in the north. Hallelujah. I get run out of town if I do that. Hallelujah. Glory. I know this is the capital of the South. Hallelujah. Feeling God right now. Brother Randy Webb backing me up. Hallelujah. But the Apostle Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since, not when, since you believed? There are those who say, well, you get it when you get saved. Well, bless your heart. If anybody would have understood New Testament theology, it would have been Paul. And Paul said, did you receive the Holy Ghost since you believed?
Hallelujah. There was something more than John's baptism. There was something more subsequent. And oh, he laid his hands on them and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. How many glad to be Pentecostal? How many glad to be Holy Ghost filled? Come on, lift your hands and wave them toward God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. I thought about it 4 years ago. Hallelujah. How many was in this meeting 4 years ago? Brother Wayne. Hallelujah. This is your kind of message right here. 4 years ago, on Friday night, the Holy Ghost, I was up in here somewhere. I was shaking hands, and we was getting ready to start service. And a commotion exploded in the foyer. Hallelujah. They said, Brother Wayne, hey, I don't put words in your mouth, but somewhere between his house and here, God had baptized him in the Holy Ghost, and he come in the church speaking in tongues. Amen. Sister Prescott started shouting, and the Holy Ghost fell in the foyer. We never started service. I said, the Holy Ghost, it hit this place, and God moved in a mighty way. Now, you come a little late to tell me that God's dead. You come a little late to tell me the Holy Ghost isn't falling. I said it's real. It's fire. It's power. God, would you send it on down and let the Holy Ghost fall? Hallelujah. Glory. Sister Judy Livingston in our church. Her mother, Sister Thelma Powell, buried her just a couple of years ago. Sister Thelma Powell was one of the most godly women I knew. Literally, as she had a countenance of the glory of God, she was a holiness woman. On her deathbed at the hospital, her daughter Judy made a commitment. Mama, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to live like you taught us to live. I didn't doubt it, but I've heard that a whole lot. When family members are dying, children get stirred. Sister Thelma Powell passed away. Judy came to church. She didn't look like she had a holiness background. She didn't look like she'd been raised holiness. I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but she had a mama that was well in her 80s. So she wasn't a teenager. She come to church, and she got saved. God started working in her life. She started praying through over some stuff. She started putting some convictions in place in her life. And she started seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember one night when God shouted her. God just baptized her in the Holy Ghost in the front of the church. I thought, oh, thank God. I'm glad young folks can get the Holy Ghost. But I'm glad, friend, that it's not just for the young folks. Amen. The Word of God tells me and you, beloved, amen, be filled, be filled, be filled with the Spirit. Listen to me, Dad. Listen to me, Mom. It's God's plan for you and I to be Holy Ghost filled. And it's more than just an experience that happens when we were young people. Amen. You and I ought to be filled with the power of God. We ought to come out of this convention, amen, full of the Spirit of God, full of the power of God, full of the glory of God. Amen. God, make us Pentecostal, not just in theology, not just in creed, but in reality, in an experience. Let the fire of God fall. Hallelujah. I was preaching a revival in Kentucky earlier, January of this year. Man stood, began to testify about wanting the Holy Ghost. His married daughter got the Holy Ghost at the beginning of that meeting. He was 52 years old. He'd been raised in church his whole life. Come of a very strict background where they focused so much on a sanctified life. I suppose that he never assumed that he needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was 52 years old, and he said, for 42 years, I really haven't sought for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But on Friday night, I got to preaching on that. Holy Ghost that Friday night in service, I usually don't do it. I just called him out by name. I said, Brother so-and-so, I believe God could give you the Holy Ghost tonight. I said, you got a desire, you've got a hunger, you've got a thirst. I believe God could give you the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. That church has got two aisles just like this. I mean, he prayed and he shouted for a while. But after that altar service had went on for a while, amen, the Holy Ghost came down. Amen. That brother was slain in the spirit. And by the time he hit the floor, he was speaking in tongues. As the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Hey, God's not dead. He's still alive. Hey, young folks, you're not serving a dead God. We're not serving a God that's out of business. We're a Pentecostal church. We're a fire-baptized church. We're a shouting church. God's not coming back for a dead church. He's not coming back for a lukewarm church. He's coming back for a shouting church. He's coming back for a dancing church. Matter of fact, I don't think he's coming back for anything less than what he left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't think he's coming back for anything less than he left. And he left a Holy Ghost-filled church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rooted in Pentecost. I don't want to be a judge of your experience in God, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was given to us to equip us to be the church of Jesus Christ, to live in the world in which we live. We cannot be the church we should be without Him. I said, we cannot be the church we should be without Him. Hear me now. I know we would argue if we tried to remove it from our theology. But have we removed it from our experience? Have we removed it from our practice? I know we bang on the Baptists for being once in grace, always in grace. But I submit to you, I know folks that have not moved in the Holy Ghost in decades, but still claim to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Come on, somebody. Amen. I want an up-to-date experience. I want an experience of right now. Amen. How many like to see on a Saturday morning? Amen. God erupt this place with the outpouring of His Spirit. I'd like to see Brother Sam get the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. I'd like to see him get the Holy Ghost today. I really would. But I was preaching to my young folks a while back about how they need the Holy Ghost and how many believe young folks need the Holy Ghost. Come on, that's not a trick question. How many believe young folks need the Holy Ghost? Some of you struggling at 50 and 60 years old, how'd you like to be 16 and 20 in the world we're living in? I was preaching to them about they need the Holy Ghost, and I got to talking how powerful the Holy Ghost was, and I just stopped by a couple of saints of God in the church. I said, when did you get the Holy Ghost? I was preaching off the cuff. They looked at me. They couldn't remember. They looked as confused. It kind of turned the message kind of sideways. One of them couldn't remember didn't even have the Holy Ghost. Now something's wrong if we're telling our young folks how important it is, and then when we go to describe it, we can't even describe it, we can't even remember it, and it's been so long, we can't even remember what it was like. Glory! Hallelujah. Had one lady, I was trying to pray to get the Holy Ghost. She said, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, when did you get him? She goes to my church. When did you get him? I couldn't remember. She couldn't either. I said, well, sis, if you can't remember and I can't remember, I'd be hard-pressed to think you really got him. If I caught my body on fire, I could probably remember when I got in the fire. I can tell you, I was a 17-year-old boy with my hands worshiping God and the Holy Ghost like fire, like fire, like fire. I said, it's fire shut up in my bones. I said, it's fire. It's Holy Ghost fire. It's Holy Ghost fire. Anybody remember? Woo! I said, it's like fire. Glory. Brother Watson, it's like fire. Holy Ghost fire. I'm going to tell you something. How many Holy Ghost are there? Just one? Holy Ghost is as much God as the Father and the Son. How many believe the Holy Ghost is unchanging? When you get the Holy Ghost, hear me, you're going to get the same Holy Ghost that moved in Acts chapter number 2, that moved in Acts chapter number 10, that moved in Acts chapter number 19. I don't care that it's 2015. You're going to get the same fire that the granddaddy got. You're going to get the same fire that Brother Teague's got. Woo! You're not going to get some watered down. Well, God's not moving like He used to move. It's not the Holy Ghost's fault. Hey, Brother Stacy, if they're getting the Holy Ghost in 2015, they're getting the same Holy Ghost that moved in the book of Acts. Young folks, I don't want you to think you're getting some less experience, some watered down experience. You're not getting some American compromise version. If you get the genuine, you're getting the same Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah! I said we got the same Holy Ghost. I said, He's the same. He's the same. He's the same. He's the same. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them. Fire! Fire! Yadoboshata, yadoboshata, yadoboshata. Holy Ghost fire! Holy Ghost fire! I feel Him in my hands. Feel Him in my feet. Come on and worship His name. Our God's not dead. He's still alive. Fire! Come on, lift your voice. Worship God until the fire falls. Worship God until the fire falls. Come on, mom and dad. Come on, mom and dad. Come on, mom and dad. Come on, child of God. It's here. It's here. It's here. You can get it right where you're standing. You can get it right where you're standing. I said He's here. He's the baptizer. He's the shouter. Glory. Glory. Glory! Throw away your program and obey God. I said, obey God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He's here. Glory. Glory. Whoa. If I needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'd begin to make my way to the altar right now. I said I'd move into this altar right now, and I'd lift my hands toward heaven, and I'd say, God, baptize me. God, baptize me. They're moving right now. God bless these. Oh, I said, God bless these that are moving. It's going to happen. I said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen right now. Today. Today. Come on and worship God. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Oh, begin to worship God. Begin to praise the Lord. Come on, church. He's here. Whoa, the Holy Ghost is here.